Welcome to Profiles in Business. It's nice to have you with us this morning for a discussion about important business and civic issues from the perspective of local community leaders. My name is Mike Varney. I'm the president and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber, and it is my great pleasure to be your host for today's show. Before I introduce today's guest, I'd like to recognize some of the community investors at the Tucson Metro Chamber's chairman and keystone levels. These are the businesses that have made a real commitment to helping the Tucson Metro Chamber promote a strong local economy. Some of those companies include TUSD, Union Pacific Railroad, University of Phoenix, University of Arizona, Vantage West Credit Union, and Walgreens. If you're already an investor in the Tucson Metro Chamber, you already know what we do to expand our economy, advocate for jobs and job creators, and build a better community. If you're not an investor, now is the time to join the Tucson Metro Chamber team. Whether your business is large or small, business is still a team activity. Here's just one example. In business, it's not so much who you know, but who knows you. Tucson Metro Chamber events can fill a room with as many as 1,000 business executives. What a great place to expand your network of contacts and build new relationships. Find the Tucson Metro Chamber online or call us at 792-1212. And now let's meet today's very special guest. Our very special guest today is Bill Anderson. Bill is the chief executive officer at a wonderful company in here, Sierra Tucson, just a little bit north of the Tucson metro area. And Bill, good morning. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Mike. It's very good to be here.
Let's get you introduced properly here. Tell us a little bit about your background, going back as far as you care to, and especially the professional part of your background.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for letting me be here and be with you today. I got my first start in the mental health industry back in Atlanta, very early in my career, getting my master's, and that was working for a shelter for teenagers in the mental health industry, those teenagers that couldn't be placed at other places in need of care, out of their home, needed a safe environment. After completing my master's, I started to work in addiction specifically, and a nonprofit agency for long-term addiction treatment in Atlanta. I started out as a case manager, going through there, being a primary counselor, moving over to the addictions. I did a good job of building up relationships and identifying those individuals that needed help. And then moving into the business side of things, working with the marketing, business development, making sure that the team is built around addressing those people who need help and getting them in and fitting them into the program. And then my first position as a CEO was out in North Georgia before I eventually moved out to Sierra Tucson about 2 years ago under the auspices of Acadia. And really love being out here in Tucson.
Good.
What a beautiful city, and love being a part of the community.
Yeah, it really is. And I've had the good pleasure of visiting Bill at his facilities at Sierra Tucson, again, a little bit north of our metro area here up Oracle Road. And what a serene and tranquil environment you have there. If you love the Sonoran Desert, you have everything there. You've got the mountain vistas. You've got the desert floor. All of the great vegetation that we enjoy here in southern Arizona, and really just a very special environment for tranquility. And I would imagine that probably feeds well into Sierra Tucson's mission and the people that you serve there at Sierra Tucson. And maybe before, Bill, before we move on with getting into some of the specifics, there may be some people listening to this program right now who don't know the Sierra Tucson name, maybe don't know exactly what it is you do, where you're located, how you do what you do. So maybe we'll just take a second or two here and look at the big picture. What is Sierra Tucson? What's its role? Who do you serve?
Sierra Tucson is a nationally, internationally known mental health facility. So we do a lot of work with individuals who are struggling with addictions, with depression and anxiety, but we do the whole gambit, meaning we can treat all the mental health issues that someone may be struggling with. We've been around for longer than 32 years. We've been in the community for that long. And again, we take those individuals, whether it's individuals who want to use their insurance, whether it's individuals who maybe don't want to use their insurance, but need some help in some capacity to come and stay with with us for a little while. We are a residential mental health facility, meaning they come and stay with us. We'd like to have people as long as we can, 30-plus days, to really get them the services and the treatment they need for a range of different mental health issues.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that range of mental health issues. And I will, just for the sake of full disclosure, let you know that I'm close to what it is that you do there in Sierra Tucson, not on a personal level, but a family member who had an alcohol issue. It was apparent. So all of my brothers and sisters and I were part of the program, the support program, and the advocacy for – it was my mom – and learned a lot about addictions and addictive behaviors and the struggle that individuals go through, the help that they need. It seems to be one of those things in life that people have a very, very difficult time overcoming on their own, that they need a strong support network around them. So let's go into a little bit more detail. Drugs and alcohol, I would think, would be probably your biggest form of addiction. I don't know that, but so what are the types of issues or challenges that people who come to Sierra Tucson are facing? Maybe just drill down a level or two, because my guess is, Bill, that somewhere in the audience listening to this program right now, there's somebody who either personally is dealing with that or has a family member, friend, business associate. So maybe we can indirectly help them by describing the issues that you face and how you treat them.
The number one issue we do face is addictions. And right now on the rise is the opiate addiction. And I know we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but that's probably our number one. And when I say just addictions, right now, the mental health industry is getting more complex. It's not just addictions anymore. It's other diagnoses. It's depression. It's anxiety. It's pain. It's trauma. Trauma is a big component of individuals who face addictions issues. So we do still get a lot of individuals that struggle with alcohol dependence, with benzo dependence. But opiate is probably our biggest issue currently. It's an epidemic. But we also have a big component and program for mood, which is depression. Right now, about 24, 25 million Americans suffer from addiction. About 45 to 46 million have some kind of mental health issues. I mean, it's a serious issue. And one thing people may not know about, right now, America is spending more on mental health than any other disease out there. More than heart disease, more than cancer. About $203 billion back in 2013. That's a lot of money just for mental health. Now that covers everything. That's addictions, that's right. Depression, that's everything. But our largest one is addiction. Second one is depression, and people don't know that. We also do a lot of trauma. We have about 24 individuals at any one time that are just in our program for trauma, and that is a loss, a grief. We do a lot of work with first responders. You want to talk about trauma from cops, fire professionals.
Veterans at all?
Veterans. We have veterans who are in our programs for trauma, for PTSD. So the mental health industry it needs a lot of support right now, and it's a population that I think is underserved, and that stigma is still there.
Yeah,
we're
and
trying
maybe
to break
underappreciated
through that
as well. One of the things that, and I hope I'm not overgeneralizing here, Bill, but one of the things I think that human nature tells us that if somebody breaks their arm and their arm is put in a cast and a sling and they walk around with their arm healing, there's a very visible sign of the trauma that they've been through. The kind of trauma and the kind of issues that you deal with at Sierra Tucson, in that kind of a context, they're invisible. People internalize those things. There's no cut. There's no wound. There's no obvious external evidence that somebody has a medical issue. And that's, I would treat them as medical issues. You might differ from that, but it seems like it's a medical issue. How do you get somebody who either is dealing with those things themselves or has a family member who is struggling with some known behavioral issues or mental health issues? What's the vital first step for either somebody who's in that situation or a family member, business associate, friend? What's the vital first step?
Not being afraid to talk about it. not being afraid to go to that person and be very open and honest about the concerns. So if it is a trauma or any other mental health, being direct, being open, being compassionate. A lot of times we're so ready to dig our heads in the sand and ignore the issue rather than face it and address the issue. So I think being very open, honest, compassionate, finding some places and avenues that you're willing to kind of meet them at where they could get help. You said something very interesting about trauma. Trauma is one of those unseen things. It's a very emotional, and it disturbs how we interpret the world. So we have those who have trauma issues see the world through a very different lens, and it's hard to pick up on that.
That's a good description.
But it impairs cognition, their ability to think, their ability to respond to normal, everyday conversations. And so it's something that is hidden and that we have to get to through our primary therapist, through other integrative services. But I think the first start is just not being afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. And based on what you said before about how many people are afflicted with some sort of behavioral or mental condition, certainly somebody that feels that maybe they need a little help has a lot of company. I mean, this is not like you're suffering through this alone. There are a lot of other people who may have the same or a similar condition. They've successfully rebounded, found a way kind of out of the maze, the mental haze or maze that they're in. So I want to just take the people who are listening to this program right now. Let's walk them right up to the front door of Sierra Tucson. What would a typical patient's 30-day visit be like? We don't need to go into all of the real detail, but what would the experience of going to Sierra Tucson be like for a typical, if there is such a thing, a typical patient there?
Like you said, there is a whole process and there's a planning stage before someone arrives at Sierra Tucson. But once someone gets there, we're going to make sure that, one, they're safe and they're okay. If it's an addictions issue or any kind of mental health stabilization, we have an on-site inpatient hospital that we want to make sure that they're safe, that they're not at harm for themselves or anybody else. So there may be a very brief stay, 1 to 2 days in that setting. There may not be, depending on how safe or how comfortable they feel. And that's a very short period of time.
Sure.
They're going to be acclimated to our living environment. It's a very safe, serene. We talked about the beauty.
That's a beautiful environment.
It's gorgeous, but there's that healing piece of it, that safety, that serenity. It's a 160-acre campus. And although it seems really big, it's a very intimate. We have a lot of people on campus, and they'll be acclimated into a small group. So having a lot of people can be very daunting for a lot of people,
sure.
Kind of overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So we introduce them into a small group of about eight. Eight people is about the max. It's a very intimate group. It's a very healing group.
Is it a peer group?
It is a peer group. So you're going to be with other individuals that are struggling with very similar mental health issues. So if it's trauma or if it's an eating disorder or if it's pain, you're going to be involved with individuals who are struggling with that. And that's a group you're going to follow. You're going to have one primary counselor assigned to you, depending on which program you're in, what's their mental health issue at Sierra Tucson, and they'll follow you the whole way through. You'll also have a medical provider, whether it's a nurse practitioner, a psychiatrist, a physician's assistant, an MD. We have about 12 full-time medical providers on staff, and you'll have one that will follow you through. So you'll have hopefully weekly interactions with that person. So it's a very safe, family-like environment. Part of what we do is we want it to be more of a home-like feel.
Sure.
We do a Friday night family dinner where they sit with that small group of individuals and really kind of have that normal dialogue,
yeah.
That normal family conversation at meal times, interactions.
Yeah.
So everything through that 30 days is geared towards that. But there's also that treatment component.
Yeah.
We do a lot of integrative services. So there has to be that treatment component, the educational pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to
get
a lot of educational pieces.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of maybe if it's pain, acupuncture, chiropractor services.
Mm-hmm.
We have those services right on site. We don't send you out to anybody. It's right there. So the 30 days is going to be very intense, very busy, very treatment-centered, but a very comfortable, home-like feel that's very safe and serene to get to heal.
You know what I'm sensing in your comments, Bill, and correct me if I'm off base here, but I'm sensing that people kind of enter the program perhaps tense, uncertain about their surroundings and people and the new things that they're going to be going through and so forth, and that day by day the comfort level expands and grows. The satisfaction with the services, the fact that they're on, hopefully, on a path that has a completion date. That every day I'm getting closer and closer and closer to being able to leave the facility and resume what I guess most people would call a normal life or see the world in a little different way. Is that sense of process and the fact that this is not a forever thing, that there is a finish line, does that play into the patient's psyche at all?
Absolutely. And again, I think the way you described it, that gradual, there is that level of anxiety when they first get
there,
that level of what am I going to be doing here? Who am I going to connect with? You know, what I tell my therapists and what I tell my providers is this mental health industry is about relationships. And so through this process, the individuals who come to Sierra Tucson get into a relationship with their therapist, with the people they're healing with, and through that process, that journey, they get the healing they need, along with all the other services. But this is a very relational thing. And towards the end, we do. We connect them right on site with someone that they're going to stay in contact with for a whole year. So they meet a therapist that's going to call them once they leave. We call it Connect 365. It's at no charge.
Mm-hmm.
But for a whole year, you're going to be tracked. You're going to get to meet the person who's going to call you up the next week after your discharge to make sure that, hey, how are things going? We set you up with a plan. We set you up with some meetings.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in your life? How can I be of assistance? So you're going to meet that person on site. It's not going to be nebulous person.
Yeah.
And it is a journey. Like you said, it's a process that they go through from the beginning to discharge.
Yeah, it sounds very, very well thought out, very well planned. If you're just joining our show, our guest this morning on Profiles in Business is Bill Anderson. Bill is the CEO at a wonderful facility here near Tucson called Sierra Tucson. It's a center, wonderful center that helps people with behavioral or mental issues, people who are struggling with internal issues, and he and his staff do a fabulous job of guiding people through to a successful conclusion. I wanted to go back to something that you touched on earlier, Bill, and I think anybody who's paying even casual attention to the news has probably learned the word opioid, mm-hmm. Like we've never learned it before. I think we're all probably at various different levels of understanding about opioids and their effect and, you know, why they're on the scene now, where maybe 10 years ago you didn't even hear the term opioids, but we certainly hear about them now. Talk a little bit about this new development. Maybe it's not so new, but it seems new to me, this opioid epidemic that's kind of come on the scene very, very quickly here. What's it traced to? Why is it a recent development? And how is the federal government, how are facilities like Sierra Tucson dealing with this epidemic?
The opioid-related deaths, so opioids are hydrocodone, any of the things that relieve pain that may be prescribed by a doctor, or even what people would call street drugs like heroin, those kind of things. Those are all in the opioid family. And the opioid-related deaths have quadrupled since 1999. That's what we mean by an epidemic. I mean, that's huge. Any other area where the deaths had quadrupled like that, there would be a national
emergency
on this. And so this is a serious epidemic. And so a lot of what has transpired on the opioid use is the prescriptions by physicians to treat pain. So there's a huge surge on looking at how we're dealing with pain. And the federal government did do a study, and the CDC just released it. And what they're saying is, opiates is not, there's little evidence to no evidence that opioid use is good for long-term treatment on pain. In fact, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be the first line of defense for looking at pain. It shouldn't be opiates,
right,
but
right.
That's what we see.
Yeah.
And so we've got to find a different way. Physicians are not considering other comorbidities, other diagnoses like bipolar or depression or anxiety when they're prescribing those pain medications. So we really need to look at that as far as when we're treating opiates. The other thing is what we do at Sierra Tucson is we look to almost eliminate it, reduce it or eliminate opioid use. And that's what we think, using integrative services,
right,
using those other things that I had mentioned,
sure,
that's how we treat that.
Yeah.
And that's what's more in line with the studies that are being released, not opioid dependence. We
right.
don't want to do that.
Yeah, go back to more of a normal or natural approach to healing pain. So I'm hearing you say that you've got some really, really 21st century approaches to opioid addictions. What other innovative, cutting-edge kind of programs would somebody likely find out about at Sierra Tucson?
I'm going to talk about two. There's probably a lot more, but I know that two that I think are recognized. One is pharmacogenomics. It was where we test for what medications your body might be able to metabolize better than someone else's. So we're doing that on every patient that comes in here,
mm-hmm.
and that's the first thing. The other one is what we've introduced just this past year, which is TMS. It's transcranial magnetic stimulation, and it's on the cutting edge of looking at depression, treating depression. And again, I said depression is growing, and we need to be more aware of it.
Sure.
But a lot of people don't respond to medications or other forms of treating depressions. This is a non-invasive, non-pharmacological kind of approach, very safe, and it treats that depression by treating the front cortex right there, frontal
yeah.
cortex. And we're having some great results
good,
from that. And
great.
Something on the cutting edge that we're working on that not many programs are.
And a little bit about Sierra Tucson's footprint. I know you have the 160-acre campus here in the Tucson metro area. Other locations, any international involvement at all?
Sierra Tucson is just located here in Tucson,
okay.
Arizona.
Right.
We don't have any other locations. We are internationally and nationally known. But for me, the biggest component and drive is for people to know that we're right here in Tucson. We are a part of the community. We have over 400 employees that live in the Tucson community. We know there's a lot of people in the Tucson community that struggle, and we want people to know that we are a part. Sierra
yeah.
Tucson is a part of this community,
yeah.
and we're here to help.
Yeah. And I would say that if you're not familiar with the Sierra Tucson campus, that's a good news, bad news kind of thing. First of all, you should be aware of this wonderful facility right here in our area. Secondly, if you're not, it's because it's so in such a secluded, beautiful, idyllic setting. Final seconds here of our visit this morning. Somebody who's listening to this program who is suffering from mental stress or any other of the afflictions that you deal with, what's your final word to that person or a family member of that person?
First, like I had said originally, don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. You can always visit us online. We have a website, which is www.sierratucson.com. But you can always reach out and call us. We have someone online and
yeah.
available to reach out. Don't be afraid, and the family members, don't be afraid to stress to them how much their mental health healing is important and value as
sure.
as a part of that family.
Yeah. I always look at this, and we touched on this earlier. If somebody had a visible wound on their arm or leg or face or something, and you were in that family and you would naturally care and you would see that that person got medical treatment right away.
Correct.
These are wounds and other issues that you can't necessarily see, but they're nonetheless harmful. And so if you are a loving family member or business associate friend, don't be afraid to help a good friend deal with these things. Well, I've enjoyed this visit just a ton, Bill, and I hope that we can do it again sometime soon. I wish you and your team at Sierra Tucson all the best of success in the wonderful treatments and things that you bring to people here in Southern Arizona. Before we close out this edition of Profiles in Business, I'd like to take just a moment to recognize some of the other major community investors in the Tucson Metro Chamber's chairman and keystone levels. And some of those companies include Walbro, Walmart, Watermark Retirement Communities, Wells Fargo Bank, Westin La Paloma, and Worldview Enterprises. Join the Chamber and let's grow our local economy together. Remember, when business is good, life is good. If your company is already an investor in the Tucson Metro Chamber, thanks for being on the team. If your company isn't a part of the largest business organization in Southern Arizona, now is the time to make it happen. Find the Tucson Metro Chamber at www.tucsonchamber.org. This is Mike Varney, President and CEO of the Tucson Metro Chamber, thanking Bill Anderson from Sierra Tucson as our morning guest. And both of us wish you a very profitable day.